Chapter number 4, Luke chapter 4 tonight. It's been a couple of weeks since we've been in our Bible study, as we've talked most of the summer about leading others to Christ. I will start off explaining the whiteboard. If you have a piece of paper, a pen, you want to jot some of these things down, it'd be good for you. And it will be, I hope, to be help to you in talking to others about Jesus. Now, I readily admit I'm more of a preacher than I am a teacher. So teaching is one of my not strong suits, I guess we could say. And so I'm going to try it a little bit tonight with help of the board. And then I'll also say this is not original to me, this material. And in any way, is someone, I can't even remember who, but someone sent me a video that had this gospel presentation in it. And I watched it, and then I say, yeah, I like that. Because we talk about, you know, how do we present the gospel? And we've gone over the verses. We've gone over, you know, how to turn the conversation to something that's a little bit more spiritual. So tonight, though, I want to give you just another way that you might be able to present the gospel as you're sharing with others. But the Bible says in Luke chapter number 4, Jesus is speaking as he was reading from the book of Isaiah. As he was in the synagogue on the Sabbath day. In verse number 18, he reads the words of Isaiah, but he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captive, recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book and gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." I read that again, verse 18 and 19. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel." To preach the gospel. As we share the gospel, what and who are we sharing it with? Well, if you take a look around the world today, we see and we find a spirit of brokenness. When you consider what Jesus is saying here, we all at one point in time have fit into one of these categories here. Again, notice, to preach the gospel to the poor. "He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captive and the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." So in this, we're going to look at this presentation of the gospel here tonight. So let's pray together, shall we? Heavenly Father, as we come to you, I ask that you would just give us what you'd have for us tonight. Father, may we see the brokenness that is in and throughout our society, throughout our culture, throughout our world, and that will never change. But Father, help us to take the message of the gospel into a lost and dying world. God, that the brokenness may be healed. Help us in this. Of course, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. All right. From time to time, as we come into conversations with people, one thing that we all have in common is we all have problems at some point in time. This is, I think, something that we forget sometimes. Sometimes we think, you know, we don't even know what problems are. You know, compared to my problems, your problems are nothing, right? I mean, my problems are always big, just like your problems are always big. You know, it's amazing to me that we forget this sometimes. Let me, Julia, how old are you? 8 years old. You ever had a problem? What's the biggest problem you've ever had? You don't know. What about, okay, was tying your shoes ever a problem for you? Yeah? Did it upset you? Yeah? How many can relate to that? Okay. Several, most of the kids. Miss Kay, tying your shoes, is that still a problem for you? No? No? Sebastian, have you been able to overcome that? Most of the time? Depends on how tired we are, I guess. But we would say, you know, in our own minds, we would say, well, you know, Julia, tying your shoes, that's not a problem at all. Isn't that what we would say? I mean, we trivialize it a little bit. But to her, big deal, right? Every problem is a big deal to who it's a problem for. You see? But in our world, we find over here brokenness. And I can't write or spell, so you're just going to forgive me. And I'll admit that readily as well. We find brokenness. Why are you looking at me like that? No, it's an E. Stop. Distracting. Brokenness. Where does brokenness come from? Well, brokenness comes from a result over here. We have God's perfect design. Now, when we see God's perfect design, there's a connection. All right? Now, what happens when we have God's perfect design, what God designed when Adam and Eve were in the garden? Something happened that led to the brokenness. The Bible calls that sin. When we leave God's perfect design, sin leads us to the thing of brokenness. Now, in our brokenness, we are people, we're creation of God, but in that brokenness, what do we do when something's broken? We try to fix it. Sometimes we throw it away. But if it's something that's fixable, I mean, we want to fix it. Now, as people, I think I'm worth, you know, not throwing away. Okay? So how might we try to fix this brokenness? Whenever something's broken, we try to fix it. What's something that we might try to do to get out of this broken state and fix this brokenness? Maybe try religion? Maybe? Maybe relationships? Maybe, I'll get out of the way here. How about success? What's something else we might try to get out of our brokenness? How about education? Education will get us out of it, won't it? What's something else we might use to try to get out of this brokenness? Okay, so some comparison. All right. What's something else? A job, we'll put that under success, okay? Fun, so entertainment, activity, so try to get our mind off of it. Fun, activity, that's what that says. Yeah. music, we'll put that in fun and activity too. How about food? Food. I'm trying to make myself feel good with food. It is true. Mind your own business. Comparisons. TV, we'll put that in fun and activity. What about, could we put maybe food and substances? It says substances. I said it and wrote it all at the same time. Anything else? Sleeping. Brokenness, we may put that in like depression. Brokenness is real, though. There has to be a solution because we're constantly trying to get ourselves out of this and into something else. But there is something that will bring us out of brokenness, and that is Jesus, the gospel. You see, Jesus came, right? And let's see here. Try to do this right. That's not much better. He came. Oh, goodness. I'm not an artist either. I can't write. I can't spell. I can't teach. I can't draw. He came. And guess what he was on the cross? Broken. Jesus was broken on the cross. And through this, again, he was raised the third day. And so therefore, we must do what Jesus said in that of repent and believe. Repent of what? Well, we're repenting within our brokenness. We've tried to get out of it, but the only way out, the only door is here. It's not through anywhere else. There's only one door out of brokenness, and it's the gospel. Jesus said that here. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me," that's Jesus, "because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of the sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And so in our repentance, we are acknowledging, and not just acknowledging that we're sinners. We talk about that, and we say that to people, say, hey, you know, you have to admit that you're a sinner. But repentance goes beyond the admitting that one is a sinner or that I am a sinner, but it is having a sorrow for my sin. In my brokenness, knowing that there is nothing that I can do to get out of that, I must repent and have a godly sorrow for my sin, knowing that I have broken the heart of God with my sin. And in that, because in God's perfect design, sin has caused a separation into brokenness, this here in our repentance and belief that Jesus died, came down, died on the cross, rose again the third day, in that brings us back into God's perfect design. And now we can pursue what God originally intended for us to pursue in his perfect design. Now, here is a little extra here because now we have this, and so I'm over here, and I can then go to a broken world, taking this message of the gospel, God's perfect design. And you see that in this, while yes, there's three different things, it's one pursuit, the sin that separates us. I can now take this message to a broken world. This is something that we can use when we have a conversation with someone that's having a hard time. People get broken, become brokenhearted. All the time, people, we come in, we take prayer requests. You know, most of the prayer requests tonight, let's just look at them real quickly. We've got a couple in the hospital having surgery. We've got one with cancer. Then we have one, two, three, four that have had death in the family. Five, maybe. You see, people are broken all around us. Those conversations come up. And you know, this is something that you can use, that if somebody's talking to you, you can start off by saying, you know, somebody comes and says, hey, I just found out, you know, my mom has cancer. I know you're a Christian. I'd ask you to pray for her. Might ask, you know, are you a Christian? Do you mind if I shared something with you? Get out a piece of paper. Draw three circles. You know, we live in a broken world. Separated from God's perfect design, sin separated us. We're always looking for a way out. There's only one way out, and that's through Jesus, the gospel. We must repent and believe that we might pursue God's perfect design in, again, going and telling, and it's a never-ending circle, if you will. You see, there are all kinds of ways that we can share the gospel. Now, in this, one thing I didn't go through, you can use some of the verses that we talked about, your tackle box in this. You know, one, I can know God's perfect design. I can know that I'm going to heaven when I die. How can I know that? Because what? Because I got saved. Okay? And how do I know I got saved? Where do I find that at? In the Bible. All right, 1 John 5:13. I can go there and I can talk about it. Now, sin entering into the world, for by one man's sin, where we would find that at? It's in the book of Romans. Chapter 5, verse 12. For by one man's sin entered into the world, and death by sin. Again, Jesus coming to do what I could not do, that I must repent and believe. We can go through, the Bible where Jesus said multiple times, repent and believe, repent and believe, repent and believe, repent and believe. Throughout the Gospels, the book of Acts, repent, believe, repent, believe. Having an understanding, there is nothing that I can do for my sin. The door is only through Jesus and his death on the cross and his glorious resurrection through that. And we can have this conversation through this and use something very simple. Like I said, it's not original to me, and I don't know where it originated at. Like I said, I watched a little video on it, and it doesn't take very long to go through something like that. And one of the things that makes this really simple is it's really not confrontational. I think that's usually one of the biggest things that we deal with is we don't want to confront because that's difficult. And I want to remind you, one of the things we talked about at the very beginning of this, at the beginning of the summer, is we're not looking to argue with people. Amen? Not looking to argue with people. Brother Shane talked with some Jehovah's Witnesses the other day. What, about 20 minutes? How'd you do with them? Did you get them? You did not. And Shane's going to tender his resignation. And he is going Jehovah's Witness. He tried, and they tried, right? They both tried, and yet neither one of them got very. It was actually 4-1. There was 4 of them against Shane, and just Shane all alone. Dylan shut the door. Yeah, but didn't really get anywhere with one another, and that's pretty typical on that. But we're not, again, we're not looking for a huge debate, because I will just tell you, if you get into the debate side of things, neither side is going to win. And I just, I like to debate. I rather enjoy it a little bit, probably too much in it. But I've learned in my experience, again, I'm not going to win. And so just neither are they. They're not going to change my mind. I'm not going to change their mind. And so there's a time and a place for it, I guess. Usually, you'll find, though, that when someone recognizes their brokenness, it's really a good time. It's usually an easier time when they are in that acceptance of the brokenness because they're searching. You know, we could add all kinds of red lines out there. Drugs and alcohol, some people turn to. In relationships, physical stuff, trying to fill that void that only Jesus can fill. All of those things will only ultimately, without Jesus, all of these things will only lead to more brokenness. All of them. Now, guess what I can still have in my brokenness after my repentance and belief. You know what? I can still have fun and activities. I can still have religion. James talks about pure religion undefiled. I can still have religion. I can still have relationships. I can even still have success and education. Now, the comparison, we still do it. I can still eat. I can compare myself to lost Jehovah's Witnesses. Pray for them. All of that. But you see, I can still have all of those things, but knowing that none of these things will still lead to unbrokenness. Because that only comes through the door. Jesus Christ is the door. That is what I have for you. See, it doesn't take very long. We're even done early tonight. Rachel taught me a while ago. She said, when you're done, just be done. I'm done.